in between the Soviet Union and the Persian Gulf. It's a very important crossroad that has gathered our attention between Europe and Asia. It's a place that this morning has around 78 million people living within, but just a small 636,000 square mile area. It was once called Persia, but today it's called Iran. You and I have been very familiar with Iran and Iraq, for they have held the spotlight for several years now, with the war that is raging on over that. And matter of fact, I will go ahead and tell you, my opinion on that is, we're fighting a war that will never come to an end in Jesus Christ. But Iran is known for its great resources of oil and its natural gas. But if you'll study back the history of all the way back to the 16th century, or the 6th century of Persia, you'll discover that back then, up to several years ago, it was ruled by kings. They would appoint a king to reign over Persia. They would appoint a king to reign over what became Iran. And for 2,500 years, they were governed by a king, appointed king, who was in the authority to make all the decisions. And then the last king was overthrown in 78 and 79, and the Islam Republic took it over, and very much controlled today by the Muslims. But I tell you all that to tell you an interesting story about one of the kings that I read back in the 60s. They had a king who was ruling over Iran, who was a very interesting person. He was very wise. And believe it or not, they're a good king. That was one of their good leaders and good kings. He loved his people and had great concern for the people. And he wanted to know how they lived. And, you know, he lived there in the palace, and he wanted to know exactly how his people lived. And he wanted to know their hurts and their heartaches and everything that was going through. And often this king, in the early 60s, would dress in the clothes of a workman or the clothes of a beggar, and he'd go into the homes of the poor. And nobody knew who he was. Nobody realized that he was the king. He was the ruler. For his outward dress did not prove royalty. And on one visit, he went down to a very poor man who lived in a cell. He ate the coarse food that day that the poor man ate. He spoke some cheerful, kind words to him, and then he went on his way. And several days passed, true story, several days passed, and he went back and visited this poor man again and identified himself as the king. He said, "I am your ruler. I am the king." And how surprised was the poor man that the king would take opportunity to come and see him. And the king said, "Is there any kind of favor that I can do for you today as the king?" The old poor man sat there for a moment with tears flowing down his face. He said to the king, "Listen, you left your palace and your glory to visit me in the dark, dreary dungeon. You ate the food that I ate. You, king, brought gladness to my heart. To others you have given money and material possessions. But to me, you have given me the greatest gift of all. You gave yourself." And the poor man, excited about the king coming to see him. And the king was absolutely floored that he never asked for anything. Now, church, at this time of gift giving, you always keep in your mind that the greatest gift that you can ever give to somebody is when you give of yourself. Amen. It's not what's in the wrappings that really matters. It's people taking time to tell people how special they are is what really matters. Can I tell you this morning, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself. I don't mind doing so, but I'm going to tell you something. The greatest king is the one who left the portals of glory and came down here in this dark, dark world that you and I may have life. Amen? You can't say amen. It's not the beautiful decorated paper with the big bows and ribbons that matters. And always remember that sometimes people play jokes on you. It's not always the biggest box that has the best present in it. What matters is that have we given of ourselves. The greatest gift that has ever been received is the gift that we have received from God. He gave to us His very self. God, the creator of this world, God, who knows every hair that is on our head, God, who sends the rain and the sunshine, God gave us the greatest gift that has ever, ever, or ever will be given. And this morning I'd rather have a gift, and the gift that God has given to us, than I had a gift from the President of the United States of America.
Amen.
What a great, great, great gift. And this morning it's not found in the truth. I want you and I to look at a couple verses that's very unusual for Christmas time. But I want you to talk about God's greatest gift in John chapter 3, verse 16. Some of you say, well, I can't expect them to hear the Christmas story. Hold on. Hold on. Some say, I came here to hear about the wise men and all those that made their trip. And I came to hear about the shepherds. And I came to hear all of that stuff. It's Christmas, preacher. Why? Why are we going to hear all that? I'm going to tell you, just to hold on. Just to hold on. I think we find everything wrapped up in these words right here. Everything. Here's what it said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You were taught to recite that as a child. It's been inscribed on books and letterheads and church signs. It's everywhere you look. And there's no greater words in all the Bible. But they're more than just words. They tell the story. Listen, let's all read it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. I think you found the greatest gift that has ever been given. And it was not given by Santa Claus, who's coming in just a matter of days. It was given to us by God. For God. First two words, for God. For God. No one could have ever given us a gift. Nobody could have ever designed a plan like God designed.
Amen.
For God. And can I tell you, no gift that you'll ever receive will ever have the valuable effects as the gift that God gave for God. Would you let me describe this gift? I think first of all, in our study, we discover that it is a gift of love. A gift is no good unless it's given to us out of love. And it's so easy to write the words on a package that says, I love you. But it's nothing if the words are just mere words. Well, let me tell you something. God could have wrote down the words, and He did. I love you. But guess what? That wasn't good enough. So God demonstrated His greatest love of all time for you and me in the greatest gift that has ever been. the gift of love. What the United States needs today is love. And to have the love that the United States needs today, they need Jesus.
Amen.
What kind of love is it? Well, it's a love that's filled with unselfishness. So love the world. For God so loved the world. There's nothing selfish about God. His very nature is to love. Many times we think of ourselves and nobody else. We think about our family and nobody else. Guess what? God didn't do things that way. God so loved. That means every person that has ever been born and every person that will ever be born, guess what? Before they ever get here, God already loves thee. Thank goodness we are loved today by God who loves us all. And when he looks down in this sanctuary today, he doesn't see you from one side of the tracks and me from the other side of the tracks. Guess what he sees? He sees all of us as born again, blood washed children of God. For God so loved, unselfish. And he didn't just give us parts of the gift, nor portions of the gift. He gave us the entire gift. He didn't pick out a certain side of folks and say, okay, I'm going to give my gift to them and them alone. Guess what? Every person walking the face of this world, right now, God loves them. God does. He didn't give it just to the rich and the well-respected, but to the poor and the pitiful. He gave to the disrespectful, disgraceful, disobedient world. He gave us a gift. Not just limited to the bands of Palestine, but to everyone, everywhere. God gave us a gift. Why did he give so unselfishly? Because he so loved. It's a more love than I have for you, so. It's more love than I have for my wife and my family, so. It is a greater love than any man can ever define or describe, so. He gave unselfishly to a selfish group of people the greatest love of all times. And nobody would do that but God. But the love's also filled with unselfishness, but also with uniqueness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the most unique gift that has ever been given when God the Father would give to a sinful, nasty, dirty world his Son.
Right.
And the very best, his only begotten Son. You take a family of four children, and that mom and dad says, okay, I'll give you one of my children. You say, that's an act of love. By giving me their child. Oh, but I'll tell you one thing. If they only had one child and they told you that you could have their child, that's the greatest act of love that you'll ever find known to mankind. And God gave to us his only begotten Son. How unique. It's unique in his Son's special delivery. The UPS man didn't bring Jesus. The Federal Express man didn't bring Jesus. He came delivered via virgin. God saw already the character in a young lady by the name of Mary. And God placed within her womb his child. She carried this child to full term, and when full term came, she gave birth. When she gave birth, she was not put in the Hyatt Regency or the Memorial Hospital. No, 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 no. She gave birth in a nasty, barred state. And I know in our programs a lot of times we pretty it up, but I'll tell you one thing. There's absolutely nothing pretty about a nasty, barn state. That's where he came. And there, that night or that day in that barn stable, God gave to us the most unique gift that has ever been given to mankind. And it was not wrapped in bow and paper. It was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But I want you to understand something. Thank God, even though it's Christmas and we're celebrating the birth of the Son, our Savior, thank God, if you travel back to the manger is empty. They had no room for them that day in the inn. And so, you say, well, was that accidental? No. God had everything so designed that he knew what he was going to do ahead of time. God never has to stop and think. He already knows what he's going to do.
Amen.
Unique in son's special living. The gift was unique in the son's sacrificial death. The son who they named Jesus grew into manhood and the world hated him. The very gift that God gave out of love was so despised. And God allowed his son to be nailed to a cross for you and for me. Little secret. The enemies couldn't have took him if God hadn't wanted him to go. The soldiers couldn't have took him that night if God hadn't wanted him to go.
Amen.
He did so because of love. And God, with all the power in his hand, stood back and allowed his son to be nailed to a wooden cross. And watched that cross be dropped in a hole in the middle section of those two crosses, of those three crosses. And God stood back until his son screamed the words, "It is finished." The only time God looked away from him was when all our sin was dumped up on his son. He couldn't bear the fact of looking on his son with our sin. But God allowed his son to give of himself sacrificially on a cross that we might have life. We might have life. Oh, it's unique. The gift that God's given us is unique. It shows love. But it's also unique in son's supernatural demonstration. They took this gift off the tree, not from under the tree, off the tree. They placed him in a barred tomb, a bleeding and a bruised body. This was not just any person. He had supernatural powers. And on the third day, thank God, because of love, the tomb miraculously became empty. No grave could have ever held him. No chains big enough to bind him. No ropes tight enough to hold him down. Aren't you glad that God sent his son, born via virgin, died, and hallelujah, rose on the third day. And let me tell you something. He lives and he rules and he reigns right now.
Amen.
And because of him, thank God, we are love. What an unselfish gift of love. As you're passing presents out, as you're giving tokens of love to your family and your friends, as you're baking all of the goodies for Christmas time, and fixing all those good things to eat, In the process of that, don't forget your little skinny preacher likes those things too. But don't ever stop thinking about the greatest gift that has ever been given. It's also, this gift is a gift of life. The giver of life knew that he did not have life until we have it the second time. Born in sin causes us not to live. You're never living until you meet Jesus. We're spiritually dead and we need life. He gave a gift of love. Guess what? In this verse, he reminds us he gave to us the gift of life. I can't provide life. I sat with that family yesterday, stood in the shrink with that family as we placed that five-month-old baby in the back of the ambulance. They came to me and they said, if you'll go in there and raise our child back to life, we'll do anything and give you anything we can give to you. And I said, I can't do that. I said, I don't have the power or I have the ability to do that. But I will tell you something. God has all this under control. God has all this under control. But let me tell you something. You must be. Remember what he told a man by the name of Nicodemus? Anybody remember what he told him? You must be born again. There's nothing that compares to the free gift of life that he gives to us. Look what kind of life it is. He said it's an undiscriminating life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever. I'll tell you one thing that tears our Calvinist brothers out of the picture. For listen, when they say, hey, not with just a handful of this, can I tell you the Bible still says, whosoever will may come. Amen. Thank God I was in the whosoever. Thank God you're in the whosoever. Thank God that right now you can be born again with love and life like you've never seen before. He said, believeth in him, should not perish. Do you understand what perish means? It means to die in your sins without the angels a smile and carry your body into the bosom of God. Perish. It means to die and burn in an everlasting hell fire that never is quenched, where the worm dieth not. And you say, you don't believe that stuff. Yeah, I do. 7 months ago, I preached a series on hell from this pulpit because I still believe there is an everlasting hell where the fire and we perish. But life is available. And if you perish, it is your fault, not God's fault. For he so loves you that he gave of his only Son that you should not perish. You don't have to be rich. Thank God you don't have to be good looking. Thank God, listen, you don't have to be a certain size or a certain weight. You don't even have to be a religious person to get saved. That's our problem now. We've got so many religious folks that are running around lost. They don't know what it is to have a relationship with the Redeemer. People say, we ought to get a little bit of religion in you. No, no, no. We don't need more religion. We need a good dose of Jesus. Amen. Our nation doesn't need to be more religious. No. Listen, religious won't help us. We need a good dose of Jesus. We've got churches sitting on every corner of every denomination, of every background, of everything that you can imagine, and we're in worse shape than we've ever been. Whose fault is that? It's not God's fault, it's our fault.
Amen.
He gave his gift to whosoever. Don't let anyone ever tell you that your life can't be changed with Christ. People say, what about the unpardonable sin? You know, what about the unpardonable? I've heard the gun particle sin is drinking and smoking and all this kind of, I've heard all that stuff. I'll tell you what the unpardonable sin is. It's the failure of rejecting Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what keeps you from being saved. If it's anything else, then God's a respecter of persons. And God's no respecter of persons, so I'll tell you what it is. If you die, you mean you say, I committed the unpardonable sin. The only sin that you've committed that's unpardonable is the sin of not accepting Christ. Life, undiscriminately. All you've got to do is believe. Did you notice that word in there? Whosoever believeth in the church. No, no, no. You can believe in the church all you want to. Oh, whosoever believeth in baptism. No, no, no. Whosoever believeth in paying their tithes. No, 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 no. It's not believing in all those things. It's believing in Him. In Jesus. Just open your eyes and believe. The gift that God gave you is undiscriminating. Oh, we've got a major, major thing going on now in society where people say, well, if you've done certain things, you can't be saved. You're too vicious to be saved. I've had several people in the last few months tell me they could never be saved because of the lifestyle they've lived in the past. And I want you to understand something. Man may condemn you of the lifestyle of the past, but aren't you glad that God forgives you of the lifestyle of the past? Anybody who recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God, and anybody who recognizes that He did die, and He was buried, and He did come alive on the third day, aren't you glad that anybody can be saved by the grace of God? Amen. I tell you what, thank it's undiscriminating. Thank God He didn't give you the right to tell people who to be saved. Not the right. Thank God He didn't give me that right. But I might say that old drunk living down yonder on the side alley, who's never been any good in any count to his family, won't ever, I'm not going to give him my salvation. God didn't give it to me to give away. Guess what He done? He gave it to His Son. Aren't you glad that the old drunk living down there on the side alley, who's never been good to his family, can be saved by the grace of God? And it reminds you, if you have been saved by the grace of God, and you have accepted this free gift, I'll tell you one thing, you can't be judgmental about those who haven't had the gift, for if you're judgmental, they'll never find the gift. Amen. So that's good. Whosoever believe. People's got this church attendance thing all backwards. They say, well, I go to church to be saved. No. You don't go to church to be saved. You come to church because you've been saved.
That's right. Man, that's right.
And now if you drift in here and you're lost, let me tell you something. No better place than to walk an aisle and find the greatest gift of all time. And guess what? He won't leave in your back pocket. He'll leave in your heart when you leave. You don't have to throw Him in the trunk of your car or lay Him in the back seat. Thank God He'll move in your heart and He'll go from this enough said, for God did. He didn't ask me, He didn't ask you. So, love this world that He gave His only begotten Son. What a unique birth and unique death and unique resurrection. Let me go ahead and throw this out here. And one of these days, what a unique return, for He is coming again.
Amen.
I have a family to tell me this week who I was talking to, who says, well, y'all preachers have been predicting Jesus is going to come for years. Said, I remember growing up as a child, preachers would preach that Jesus is on His way, He's coming. And I said, that's exactly right. But I said, you'll never find where the Bible has been more fulfilled than today. You'll never find where nations against nation and family against family. You'll never find where the devil's doing such havoc inside of his house like he is now. Can I tell you? You better lift your eyes, for Jesus is about to come. And the devil knows it, for that's why he's tried harder today than he's ever tried.
Amen.
What an undiscriminating gift. Open your eyes and undiscriminating.